is stealing the show. He's good about that. He'd take the thunder right out of Granddad's hands, boy. What you doing, boy? Y'all want to do a little Bible study this morning? Let's look at John chapter 21, and we'll finish up the Gospel of John, hopefully this morning, if the Lord will allow. If you came in late, Brian is sick in his stomach. He was sick in his stomach last night. He just wasn't feeling too sporty this morning. So we swapped places. So you got me this morning. We're going to finish up the Gospel of John this morning, and then we're going to move on to the book of Proverbs. That book has helped me more in my Christian walk the last almost 5 years than anything I can think of. And the way I did it was, whatever day of the month it was, I would go to that proverb in the morning and do a morning devotional and just get the wisdom of God from it. And so it being that helpful to me, when I was praying about where to go next, I just kind of sensed in my spirit that that's what God wanted me to do. I read it by the pastor. He said, I think it'd be a great idea. So that's what we're going to do. It'll take us 31 Sundays to get through there, and hopefully it'll help us. Hopefully it'll do some good. Before we start, let's ask the Lord to lead us here. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our church. Thank you for our family. We thank you for our Savior. And we thank you for your word. It's a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And we're looking for you this morning. Father, nobody's here to hear me babble on this morning. Father, we're seeking you. We want to hear from you. We pray that you'd open the scriptures to us. Help us to see what we need to see to draw closer to Jesus. And Lord, we're just looking for, like the song said, a closer walk with thee, Lord. And so we pray that you would teach us now. I yield to you, Holy Spirit, and pray that you would take this service over and have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, you remember what those things were? When Thomas was doubting and Jesus appeared to him, and Thomas said, I won't believe it unless I put my finger in the holes in his hands and my hand in his side. And so Jesus presented himself and said, here I am. Put your finger right here. Put your hand in. It's me. And so after those things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Sea of Galilee. It's just another name for it. And in this way, he showed himself. Okay, so it's an introduction. He's saying he showed himself again. We're going to find out later. It's the third time. And he's saying he did it in this way, semicolon. Okay, so now we're going to tell the story. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, or Didymus, if you're in the old King James, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, which is James and John, and two others of his disciples were together. So what is that? Is that eight? Is that eight out of the 11 that's remaining? Because Judas is dead now. So some of the guys were together on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. This has been a difficult ordeal for Peter. How many, that's just me, I won't even ask. If any of y'all's ever blown it, you ever blown it? Anybody ever blown it? Okay, I have too, more times than I care to count. And so the temptation is, and it was for Peter, to go back to what we used to do. Well, we're going to see as this unfolds that wasn't the course of action that was the best, and it's not the course of action that's the best for us either. It's the temptation to isolate, to stay away when we are discouraged or hurting or something's going on in life. The thing that we're tempted to do, what our flesh says to do, is isolate from the church. We don't go to church. That's backwards. That's the time when we need to pull in. When you pull in tied to Jesus, you're forgiven. You're free. You've been washed and cleansed, and we need to walk with Jesus. And so when the flesh says that, we've got to get better at catching ourselves and saying, okay, I blew it, but my flesh has not got the right answer here. I don't need to isolate. I need to pull in. Okay? And that's what, but that's what Peter did. He said, you know, man, I've blown it. I denied the Lord. I did this. I did that. Oh, my goodness. What a ding dong. Well, I don't know what to do, so I used to be a fisherman. I'm going to go fishing. I want you to catch something else here, that Peter was a natural-born leader. And those qualities come out. You know, there are natural-born leaders where even if they're doing something wrong, people will follow them. And that's what happened here. He said, I'm going fishing. They said to him, they being the other disciples, said, well, we're going with you also. We'll just go with you. And they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Verse 4, but when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? Now, I looked at a couple of things, and the NASB says children also. It's not really the way it was said. This was a typical thing, like, okay, Randy, if you was out here at Jerry Paul's Lake or on the floodways fishing, or you're in a boat fishing and you see somebody on the shore and they say, hey, you catching anything? That's what this is. It's more like that. The better translation is lads or fellas. Hey, fellas, catching anything? He said, hey, fellas, it says, got any food? What he means is, I see you've been out fishing all night, fellas. You caught anything? Got any fish? Does that make better sense? They said no. Verse 6, and he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. If you were Peter or the other guys, there should have been a bell that just rung. This is familiar, because there was a time, it's recorded over in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, when Jesus got into the boat. They pushed away from the shore a little ways because there were so many people, and he wanted to teach. So he got in the boat with them, and pushed away from the shore a little bit. He taught the people, and then he turned around and said to the disciples, go out into the deep a little bit and throw the nets down for a catch. And if you'll remember the story, Peter said, Lord, we've been fishing all night. We caught nothing. Is this ringing a bell? Do y'all remember this story? This is the same thing that's happening again here right now. How many of you know that the things that happen to us in everyday life are all in service of helping us to believe in the person, in the redemption, in the deity of Jesus Christ? Is everybody willing to recognize or acknowledge that statement? Are y'all willing to accept that? So is this. You're going to see pictures painted of things that have happened before. They don't recognize Jesus. We've talked about this a little bit. I don't know if there was something that was different about his appearance or if it just took his voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. I know them. And so it may be something to that effect. Maybe because he was beaten beyond recognition. Now, his body still looks like that. It's beat up and broken and messed up. So he may not be able to recognize him. But anyway, he's on the shore here. He says, hey, fellas, you catch anything? They don't recognize him. He says, throw out on the right side of the boat. This should have dinged a bell in Peter's head. Hey, this might be the Lord. I remember this happening before. You following me? He said to them, verse 6, cast a net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. And verse 7, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, who's that? John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it. The old King James says he was naked. He just had his outer garment off because he was fishing. And plunged into the sea. That's so Peter. Let's bail off in there. Neck deep. Right? Verse 8, but the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits. That's about 100 yards. Dragging the net with the fish with the boat. You catch that? Now, okay, so Jesus said, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll get a catch. Does this have anything to do with which side of the boat you're fishing on? What does it have to do with? The word of the Lord. We're going to see that again in a minute. Now, I want you to catch this, that they did what the Lord said. The net got so full of fish that they couldn't drag it in. They, the group, couldn't drag it in. And so then they drug it behind the boat to get it to the shore, right? This is heavy. You follow me? Hundred yards. Verse 9. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Now, Peter is trying to escape the feelings of guilt and disappointment and everything. And the first thing, when he realizes it's the Lord and he plunges into the sea and wades through and comes upon, the first thing he sees is a charcoal fire. When was the last time he saw a charcoal fire? Do you remember when they led the Lord out of the garden and was taken? He come up into the courtyard and he was following from a distance, and there were some Roman soldiers out there, and they were warming up because it was cold. Remember the story? It was cold. They had a fire going, and Peter got up there beside it and was warming himself by the charcoal fire. Do you see the redemption process taking place here? Peter is faced with his failure on several different instances here, but I want you to see the grace of God as the story unfolds, okay? Verse 9 again, then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you just caught. Verse 11, and Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Now, in the story in Luke 5 that I just told you about, the net was beginning to break. But this is more and bigger fish. The old King James says it was 153 great fish. Big. This is big fish. This is heavy. Now, the eight of them couldn't haul the net in, right? We just saw that. They're dragging it behind the boat. It's a big struggle to get it up here to where Jesus is. But upon the word of Jesus, bring some of the fish. Peter, bring some of the fish you've caught. Peter goes over there by himself, grabs this net, this big net with 153 big fish in it that the eight of them couldn't haul in, and drags it up there himself. This says something about Peter. It says something physically about Peter, that he was a big, strong guy, right? It says something about him physically, but it also says something about what he's learning spiritually. It should say something to all of them. It should say something to us spiritually, that what's impossible for us is completely doable upon the word of the Lord. Does everybody agree with that? Upon the word of the Lord. I hate to go back to this every time, but it's my life and I don't have anything else to draw from. But it was over 40 years that I knew that I was dying from my drug addiction, that I was dying from my alcoholism. I wanted to quit. I knew it was the best thing to quit. I knew it'd be better for me if I quit. I knew it'd be better for her and the other girls if I quit. I knew it would be better, but I couldn't quit. Until I got honest with Jesus. He said, the truth set you free. Well, it did. I got honest with the Lord. I said, I can't do this on my own. I might have been like Peter. Look, get that net full of fish. That's what the Lord said to me. I came here, I checked into that room right there. I didn't believe I was forgiven. Or I believed I was partially forgiven. How many of you know you're not partially forgiven? How many of you know that you're completely made whole and righteous in Jesus? How many of you know that upon the word of the Lord that you are clean, that you're acceptable to God, that you can stay, you've got standing because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, because of the word of the Lord, because of the gospel, because of the authority of the word of God, you have been made right completely. And it's not based on my behavior, your behavior. It's not based on performance. It's based on the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord said, Glenn David, I want you to get your act together. I'm going to empower you to sober up and start serving me and quit being such a liar. The word of the Lord said, Peter, grab that net and drag it up here. What, the Lord? Eight of us couldn't get it. Lord, I've been trying to get sobered up for 42 or 43 years and I can't get this done. I'm going to let your story roll through your head here. You're making application, right? I hope you're making application. Because upon the word of the Lord, the impossible becomes reality. Simon Peter went up, verse 11, and dragged the net to land full of large fish, or old King James, great fish, 153. If you want to pick apart the details and go to research and why he did I'm stuck. Why he recorded this specific number of fish, you can get the phone book. People will say, well, one means this, and five means this, and three means this, and this is the whole total number of this, and you add these and that, and this number of it. I think personally, because I'm a practical guy, I used to be a hocus-pocus guy, but I had to reel that back in a little bit and get real and get honest and get practical with the Lord. I personally believe that all these guys are fishermen, and this is the best catch that they've ever had. And so John said, it was 153 big fish we caught. Praise the Lord. I think that's what it was. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Not like last time. Similar to last time, but not really like last time. You see that? Verse 12, Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. It didn't look like him, but it sounded like him. And we sense that it's him. I'm picking up on the perception in my spirit that it's him. I'm not daring to ask him, who are you? I don't want to be wrong. He better run anybody at Walmart and can't remember the name. And they say, hey, Glenn, how you doing? I'm like, how you doing? I'm not the only one. They didn't dare ask him. But they knew. Verse 13, Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. You remember the story about the feeding of the 5,000? Impossible situation. There's 5,000 men. They got their wives and their kids, and right? We got a kid here with a Lunchable. A couple crackers. Five, what was it? What was it? Five crackers and two fish. Is that what it was? Is that it? Five crackers and two little sardines. Lord, we need to send these people home so they can get something to eat. You feed them. What? What did he do? I believe it was Philip went and got the boys little lunch and brought over to the Lord. And the Lord, you remember what he did? He prayed and gave thanks. He broke the bread and handed it out. Remember, it says that he broke the bread and handed it to them, and likewise with the fish. And it divided out and fed everybody. So there was full and 12 baskets left over. Impossible situation. But upon the word of the Lord, you see all these pictures of familiar things as they've walked this 3.5 years with Jesus down through here. These are reminders. Can we be reminded this morning of the victory that we've had in Jesus? Of the victories that we've had that have been given to us by the Lord? Now, I don't know about you, but I have gotten really good at blowing it and making a mess out of things. My daughter told me one time, she said, "Well, I don't know, Dad. It seems like I can't make a right decision where I've made all the wrong ones." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, honey. That's in your DNA. You inherited that." But I think it's a human condition. And the flesh, which is governed by Antichrist and the devil, the accuser, the one who is hell-bent to take us down and prevent us from stepping into Jesus for redemption and freedom and eternal life that's available. He's in our head accusing us. "You loser. You call yourself a Christian? Do you really think you're saved? Am I the only one who hears that?" Oh, good job there. That was a powerful thing that happened right there, Glenn. Good job. But do you remember this and this and this and this and this? And the movie reel plays in my head of the damage that I've done and the people that I've hurt and the... Yeah, unfortunately, I do. I remember all of it in vivid color. And if you're looking at me and expecting me to stand in my own strength and power while you accuse me and remind me of every time I've ever blown it in my life, if you expect me to stand here in my own strength and power and put the weight of this on my shoulders, you're right, I'm condemned to hell right now. We might as well stoke up the fire. But that's not what the word of the Lord says. Jesus, out of his very own mouth in John chapter 3, said, "God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, so that all who would believe in him should never perish, but have eternal life. For the Son of Man did not come into the world to judge and condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved." That's you. That's you. That's me. Yeah, I blow it on regular occasions, and I am an expert at blowing it. But I'm capable of learning now that my head got sober. I have an advocate on behalf of me. I'm not talking about a lawyer that's this slick lawyer that's trying to get me out of all the trouble that I can get myself into. But I've been forgiven. Have you? If you can't answer that, I'll answer it for you. Yes. All sin shall be forgiven, the sons of men. But are you willing to walk with Jesus in a friendship? Because it's a package deal. just like consequences come with sin, negative consequences come with my sinful acts. It's a package deal. You don't get the pleasure without the consequences. And you don't get the blessing without the relationship. We need, as these days roll on toward the time, and it's getting closer every day that the curtain closes on history, you need to get your mind off yourself and on to the redemption that is ours in Christ Jesus that began way back before the foundations of the world. This is God's plan. It's not mine. If I were in charge of my own destiny, I'd be condemned eternally. But it's not up to me. And the word of the Lord is that I and you and everybody that was willing to walk with Jesus in a friendship, in a relationship, and devote our lives to Him in allegiance and surrender is free and forgiven and clean and acceptable to the Creator of the universe. This is the story He's trying to paint these familiar pictures to remind these guys of. Everything that He taught them in 3.5 years is coming back with these reminders. Yeah, it's bad, Peter. You blew it. Yeah, you sure did. But it's impossible. You can't drag the net. But I've made you able. And so quit making excuses. Verse 15, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? The word is agapao. It means it's a human expression of the love of God. Do you have this kind of love for me, Peter? Do you have a sacrificial, godly type of love and devotion for me? Do you have that for me, Peter? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. You know you're my brother. You know I'm fond of you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agapeo me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I have that brotherly love for you. You know I'm fond of you, Lord. I admire and applaud Peter for his honesty here. How many of you know that it's okay to be honest with God? He already knows. It's not going to benefit him. It benefits us. I need to be truthful with my God here if I want to get better. Peter couldn't tell him honestly, yes, I agapeo you. Do you have godly, devoted love for me, Peter? I'm fond of you, Lord. I'm fond of you. I don't know you like I want to, but I can go this far. I can be honest with you and tell you that I can go this far. Okay, do you agapeo me, Peter? Well, you know, Lord, you know that I'm fond of you. You know I phileo you. He said, then tend to my sheep. I need you to feed them. I need you to care for them. You're not going to do it perfect. There's probably somebody that's better educated and more experienced. And oh, wait a minute, that's on me, isn't it? You could do better. You realize that? You could do a lot better. There's people that are a lot more qualified than me. But unfortunately, like Peter, I've been appointed to this. I feel guilty a lot because I'm gone all the time. I'm not here. I'm not present. There's so much that I don't know. I'm just learning as I go, and it just... I just find myself sometimes just begging the Lord, like Solomon, Lord, why did you put me in this position? I don't know anything. I don't have wisdom. I need wisdom. I need your spirit. If you want me to care for these, I'm bankrupt on care in my own strength and power. You're going to have to pour into me what is necessary to care for these sheep of yours. I can't feed them. I'm trying to feed myself here. I'm the encourager of the church. I want sometimes I need to be encouraged. I'm discouraged. The phone will ring and it's I need you to be encourage this person, Glenn. I got like one drop. Pour it out. When I'm bankrupt, when I'm running on empty, when I don't have anything to give, I'm taxed and in the world and surrounded by stupidity, and I don't have a drop left to give. I got one drop in my little encouragement bottle, and the Lord tells me, He's told me time and time again, pour it out. That's what I'm telling you. If you've got one drop and somebody that's in the body of Christ needs it, pour it out. He's not going to let you go dry. It's like, was it Elisha or Elijah that the widow, when the Shunammite widow, when she was out, she said, "We said I need something to eat." And he said, "All I got is enough to make one loaf of bread and a little bit of water, and me and my son are going to eat it and die. Go gather up some empty bottles and give me that biscuit." He ate the biscuit and drank the water, and she's bankrupt. She gathered up every vessel she could find and brought them in there. And he said, "Now begin to pour and don't quit until you run out." And she filled up all the vessels she gathered up in the neighborhood. That's what God's saying to us. I know it's hard out here. I know the coronavirus is acting stupid. And I know the Democrats have got the world ablaze with their stupidity. And I know all these things are going on. But the word of the Lord says that He's going to take you from here to there. Just like when he got in the boat and said, "Let's go to the other side. Lord, don't you be afraid that we're going to die." Man, how long am I going to put up with you? I told you we were going to the other side. Peter, are you able to love me with that godly, sacrificial, divine love that I have poured into you? Well, I'm fond of you. We'll start there. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Giving you all I got, Lord? I'm out. I've got to tap into your resources to obey you. I don't have it. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" This time Jesus said, "Phileo, are you fond of me?" You said you were twice. Are you still fond of me? And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. You know that I phileo you. You know that I'm fond of you. You know that I'm giving you everything I got, but I've blown it, and I don't know what to do. And I'm not strong enough to drag this net. And I don't know how I'm going to make it. And I need the word of the Lord because I'm running bankrupt. I'm running dry. I'm out. I'm empty." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Pour it out. Because I'll fill you back up." Verse 18, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger and you girded yourself and you walked where you wished, you did everything you wanted to do, but when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will gird you or clothe you and carry you where you don't want to go." This, he spoke, verse 19, signifying what death he would glorify God. By what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Accompany me. I want you to stay with me. I want you to walk with me. You say you're phileo. You say you're my brother. You say you're fond of me. You say you're my friend. I want you to walk with me. I know you're running on empty. I know you're running out. I know you've blown it so many times that you can't get past your own ego. I know you can't bail yourself out of your own guilty conscience. I know you're crushed and I know you're weak and I know you don't have what you need, but I want you to accompany me because I need you to feed these sheep. Am I speaking to anybody here this morning? Verse 20, and then Peter, I want you to go with me. I want you to walk with me, Peter. And Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his, Jesus' breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Verse 21, Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, what about this man? I want you to follow me. What about him? I guess I'm the only one guilty of that too. Well, they got a better deal than I got. What about him? What about her? What about them? Proverbs says, don't envy sinners or walk in the way of the unrighteous. You follow me, Peter. Follow me. You go with me, and don't you turn around, and don't you quit, and don't you give up. I know your frame, but you're but dust. I made you. I know what you're capable of and not capable of, but I've got power from on high that I'm going to make you able to feed these sheep and take care of these sheep and tend to these sheep and make this church come alive. Because that's got a lot of people that need forgiveness and need to walk with me and need to have a breakthrough. I got a lot of people that's going to die and go to hell if we don't tend to these sheep. What about this man? Verse 22, Jesus said to him, if I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? It ain't none of your business. What about him? Don't worry about him. You follow me, Peter. You do what's right, Peter. You walk with me. Don't worry about him. Your concern is not him. You follow me. Verse 23, then this saying went out among the brethren that the disciple would not die. But we read into the scripture, don't we? And make assumptions. Saying went out that Jesus, that disciple wouldn't die before Jesus came back. Jesus did not say to him that he wouldn't die, but if I will that he remains till I come, what's that to you? It's none of your business. Verse 24, this is the disciple, John, this is me, I saw this stuff, that testifies to these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Verse 25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Great is the mystery of godliness. That God would be born into human flesh and come so we could relate to him. Coming to make the forgiveness of the gospel known to all mankind. Don't you dare quit. I know that preachers are supposed to be kind and nice and gentle and warm, but that's not what you've got up here. This is what you've got this morning is Mr. Rudin Abrasive telling you that I don't care what life throws in front of you, what curveball you catch, don't you dare quit. You keep walking with Jesus because people are going to hell, and if we don't get the word of the Lord out there and encourage people to come to Jesus, they're going to die and burn in hell. We've got to be about the business of proclaiming the gospel. Of sharing, and it's not, you don't have to be a theologian, but Jesus has done things for you and he set you free from something, and you've known the power of his forgiveness and his love and his mercy and his kindness, and you've repented, and that's your story. Tell it. They might think I can tell you, they will. They'll think you're some kind of a nutcase. They do me. Who's he think he is? The meth head. Just keep walking with Jesus and don't quit. Father, we lift up the name of Jesus today. Lord, we thank you for making the way, for providing the power, for taking us through the storms of life and through the clouds and the rain and the stuff that we go through. But thank you for the hope that we have in heaven, Lord, that you're taking us to the better outcome, Lord. And we will walk with you and rely on your strength to do what you've called us to do, Lord. And we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.